Science Book by Nick Arnold. Sounds Dreadful. Illustrated by Tony J. Sauls. Read by Vienna Vance. Introduction. Listen to this. The younger you are, the louder you are. Babies love making noise. Rattle, wag, wag, rattle, rattle, wag, wag. And so do kids. I can yell louder than you. Bet you can't. And teenagers think really loud music is brilliant. Blast, boom, turn that thing off. But as people grow older, they change. They settle down and quieten down. Your parents no longer think loud is good. They think that anything loud sounds dreadful, especially loud sounds made by you. Will you kids be quiet if you stop shouting at us? So you'd better read this book quietly. And guess what? Teachers are even worse. No talking in class or in the corridor. And if you must breathe, do it quietly. A quiet class is a happy class. In fact, the only sound teachers seem to enjoy is the sound of their own voices, sounding off about boring things. Like science, for example. And just to put you off the idea of making noise, teachers teach you about sound in science. Sound waves are molecular vibrations, blah, 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 whatever. Sounds dreadful, doesn't it? But it doesn't have to be. Listen to a few more exciting sound facts and see if they make your ears prick up. A single note can shatter glass. Sound makes your eyeballs shiver in their sockets. Sound stuns and even kills people. And that's not all. This book is full of facts about a world of dreadful sounds, from bells that can burst your blood vessels to sinister sound guns that can make you dash for the toilet. Read all about it, and afterwards you can sound off in science class to your heart's content. You're bound to get a good hearing. And who knows, you could become a big noise in science. One thing's for sure, the world will never sound the same to you again. So now that you're all ears, just turn the page. Sounding off. What do the following have in common? A. Your pet mouse. B. Your science teacher. C. A 60-piece orchestra. Give up? No, the answer isn't that they all eat cheese. The correct answer is they all use sound to grab your attention. The orchestra needs sound to play a symphony, the mouse needs sound to squeak, and your science teacher, well, just imagine there was no such thing as sound. You couldn't listen to a boring science lesson, and she'd never get to tell you off. That would be tragic. For animals, sound is equally vital because, just like us, animals use sound to pass on vital messages. Just imagine what would happen if your dog couldn't whimper when it was time to go out for walkies. You might forget to take him out. Silent message. Time for walkies on a sign. Smelly message. Smells. Speak like a scientist. Scientists have their very own language which only they understand. Now's your chance to learn a few key words. And afterwards, you can sound off and amaze your friends and silence your teacher with your word power. Enormous amplitude. This means how loud a sound is. Stronger sound waves mean louder sounds, or greater amplitude. The word amplitude comes from ample, which also means big. Fantastic frequency. Frequency means the number of vibrations a second that make up a sound. A vibration is the scientific name for a wobble. These can be ear-bogglingly fast. For example, bats can squeak at over 100,000 vibrations a second. Higher frequency means that the sound is higher, which is why bats squeak rather than growl. By the way, frequency is measured in hertz, pronounced hertz and written H-Z. So higher frequency makes more hertz. Tuneful tones. No, this has nothing to do with keeping in tone by physical exercise. A tone is a sound with just one frequency. Just to confuse you, most sounds have lots all mixed up. You can make a tone by hitting a special tool called the tuning fork on a smooth surface. Music teacher keeping in tone in the music room. Tuning fork. Gardening fork. Music teacher keeping in tone in the garden. Rumbling resonance. This is when vibrations hit an object at a certain frequency. These make the object wobble too. The vibrations get stronger and stronger and the sound gets louder and louder until it can sound really deafening. See page 28 for more details. Happening harmonics. Imagine plucking a guitar string. The string vibrates in several ways to make one main tone and several lesser ones. Harmonics are the lesser tones that help to make your playing sound tuneful. And if it isn't, your music teacher is going to get a hammering headache. No, no, haven't you ever heard of harmonics? Or aren't they a bit like a mouth organ, miss? Got all that? That'll give you something to shout about in your next science lesson. But here's something you can make an even bigger noise about. Just imagine what it would be like if you became a real-life pop star. I'll die if he looks at me. Scream, gasp, weep, we love you. Isn't he gorgeous? Shriek, I love him. Sob. Now's your chance. Could you be a pop star? You don't need too many qualifications to be a pop star. Although talent helps, it doesn't seem too vital. Just so long as you actually enjoy music and dancing, you could be the latest, hottest, biggest, new pop sensation. But you'll need to be ready to record your first hit single. To find out how, read on. To show us the technical side of the business, we've hired, at great expense, top DJ and record producer, Jez Liznan. And to help explain the vital background facts about sound that any budding pop star needs to know, we've recruited scientist, Wanda Y. Yo, Wanda, interested in cool music? Yes, but I'm also interested in sound science. Step 1, sound systems. Silent soundproofing. When you record a hit record, you don't want to pick up the sound of next door's TV. Jez's sound studio is lined with a thick, high-tech sound insulator to keep out unwanted noises. Okay, it's only cardboard egg boxes behind plasterboard. The soft cardboard soaks up the vibes like a nice, comfy pillow, and they get lost in there, which is why it's so quiet in the studio, except when Jez opens his big mouth. Mighty microphone. This is what you'll need to sing or play instruments into. You'll need to get quite close to it, so you can call it mic for short. Here's the mic. Amazing, an acoustoelectric transducer. And here's Mike, the studio cat. What Wanda means is that the microphone turns sound into electric pulses. Amplifiers and loudspeakers. Your mic would be pretty useless on its own. Thanks to the mic, the sound of your fabulous singing is now in the form of electrical pulses. And you can't listen to pulses, can you? Well, you could, but it would be about as thrilling as listening to a hairdryer. So you need a loudspeaker to turn the pulses back into your own groovy tune. And an amplifier makes your tune loud enough to hear. Sometimes a bit too loud. Yeah, they're giving me great vibes. And they're giving me a headache. Dreadful expressions. Jez and Wanda are still talking. So you've got a woofer and I've got a tweeter. Aren't they talking about their pets? Answer, no. They're talking about loudspeakers. A woofer is a loudspeaker that only plays low-pitched sounds. A tweeter is a loudspeaker that only plays, you guessed it, high-pitched sounds. Still want to be a star? Jez and Wanda will be back later on to give you more sound advice. Dreadful Animal Sound Quiz. Imagine that you were a small animal. What would you do in the following situations? Remember, your choice is a matter of life and death. Choose incorrectly and you might end up as a tasty snack for a larger creature. 1. You are a South American possum, a small furry animal with a grasping tail that lives in trees, and you meet a Brazilian screaming frog. The frog screams. That's how it got its name. Oddly enough, what do you do? A. Eat the frog. It'll take more than a scary scream to put you off. B. Run away. The frog is warning you that there is a dangerous animal nearby. C. Back off. The frog is telling you it's poisonous to eat. Answer? 1. A. The frog is very tasty, by frog standards, that is. It's only screaming to put you off while it hops to safety. 2. You're a North American ground squirrel. There's a rattlesnake in your burrow, and it's after your babies. You can't see the snake, but you can hear its sinister rattle. It sounds surprisingly high-pitched and slow. What do you do? High-pitched and slow, high-pitched and slow. It's in here somewhere. Hurry up, Mom. A. Run for it. The rattle warns you that the snake is big and poisonous. Yikes, the babies can fend for themselves. B. The slow rattle means the snake is moving slowly, so you've got time to dig an escape tunnel for yourself and your babies. C. Attack the snake. The rattle proves the snake is smaller than average and rather tired, so you might just win the fight. 3. You're a lapwing, a bird living in a swamp. You hear a loud three-note call from a redshank. That's another type of bird. What do you do? Squawk, squawk, squawk! Hey, keep the noise down, pal. A. Go looking for fish. The cry tells you there's food nearby. Answer A. You should be ashamed of yourself. Answer A. Go looking for fish. The cry tells you there's food nearby. B. The call is a warning. There's a gang of crows in the way, and they like to eat your babies. And the red shanks. You join a posse of other lapwings to fight the invaders off. C. Nothing. The cry tells you rain's on the way, and being a swamp bird, you're not scared of a drop of water. 3B. It's a warning. Get ready for a fight. Looks like feathers are going to fly. Bet you never knew. Human beings also use sounds to communicate. So you knew that already? Well, bet you never knew that human voices can make more different sounds than any other mammal. That's because you can move your tongue and lips in many different ways to form lots of weird and wonderful sounds. Try making a few now. Meow, zee, purr, arg, woo. I worry about her. Dare you discover sounds all around you? You will need, yourself, one pair of ears. If you're lucky, you may already have these. You should find them attached to the sides of your head. What you do? Nothing. Absolute silence. Delighted teacher. I should try this more often. 2. Sit very still and listen. What did you notice? A. Nothing. And it gets really boring after the first half hour. B. I started hearing all kinds of sounds I hadn't noticed before. C, I heard strange sounds from inside my body. Answer B, and possibly C. Sounds are all around us. There are loads of everyday sounds that we don't take any notice of. Sounds like a neighbor's cat throwing up fur balls, your gran sucking a wine gum, or a sparrow with a bad cough. If there are any sounds going on, you can always listen to your own breathing. If you're not breathing, it might be a good idea to see a doctor. Sounds dreadful fact file. Name, sound. Basic facts. What we call sound is actually tiny changes in air pressure. That's the force of the air squashing on your body. These changes are caused by sound waves, see page 40, and you can detect them with the aid of your incredible eardrums. Come on, it's the wrong time of year for avalanches. Whoops, sorry. The horrible details. A loud noise like a scream can set off avalanches as the force of the sound dislodges a huge mass of snow. In the winter of 1951, avalanches in Switzerland buried over 240 people alive. Come over here and we'll read the next chapter. Dreadful hearing. Bats, humans, and grasshoppers all have something in common. Ears. Most of the time you don't notice them. Well, not unless there's something dreadfully odd about them. What are you staring at? But you'd soon notice if your own ears weren't working too well, and you'd certainly notice if you couldn't hear because behind your ears lies an amazing bit of natural engineering. Listen up. Dreadful expressions. Two doctors are at the theater, but can they hear the play? Well, my auditory ossicles are agitating my oval windows. Arg! Is this painful? Answer, not usually. She means the bones in her ear have vibrated and passed on their motion to the oval window, covering the entrance to her inner ear. So her answer could have been yes. Confused yet? Just lend an ear to this. How sounds get into your ear. Ear picks up sound of jet engines. Sticky wax ideal for trapping bits of dust and adventurous bugs. How do I get out of here? Sensors in the fluid-filled semicircular canals help you balance. Ear bones pick up sound vibes. Nerves go to brain. Eardrum vibrates when sound hits it. Oval window vibrates. Sensors in the cochlea, gloopy fluid, pick up vibrations and turn them into nerve signals. And here's the ear in action. Imagine a wandering, ugly bug, say a fly, sneaked into the ear. Here's what I would see. 1. The external ear canal. That's ear old to you. Yuck, sticky wax. Zoom. 2. The eardrum. Crikey, a giant drum. Buzz. 3. Meanwhile, in the middle ear, the ear bones are doing their castanets impression by passing on the fly's irritating buzz. Anvil bone, stirrup bone, hammer bone. Hammer, anvil, stirrup. Can you see where the names came from? 4. The semicircular canals. Blimey! Slosh, 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 slosh. Scientists use the word canal to mean any long, thin space in the body. 5. Cochlea. Cochlea. That means snail in Latin. That fly's a genius. That's where the name comes from. 6. And the nerves are buzzing with sound messages for the brain. Fizz, fizz, buzz, buzz. This is getting on my nerves. I'm out of here. Could you be a scientist? Would you make a good sound scientist? Try to predict the results of these sound experiments. If you get them right, you'll certainly have something to shout about. 1. Scientists have discovered that our hearing is sharpest for sounds of a certain frequency. Which sounds do we hear most clearly? A. Loud music. B. A coin dropping on the floor. C. A teacher talking. Answers. C. A teacher talking. Sad but true. Scientists have found that the ear is most sensitive to sounds at 500 to 3,000 hertz. That's the level of a person talking. Of course, you can hear your friends just as clearly as you can hear a teacher. But chatting in science class isn't recommended, or you might get an ear bashing from your teacher. 2. Every musical instrument sounds a bit different even when they play the same note. Some make a smooth, tinkling noise, and some make more of a rattle or a blare. This is because of the unique pattern of sound vibrations, or timbre, made by each instrument. Scientist Steve McAdams wanted to discover if people could spot these differences. What did he find? A. People are useless at spotting sound differences. They said all the instruments sounded the same to them. Easy, but then I used to play the recorder myself. Barb. B. People are brilliant at this. They could tell the difference between the instruments even when Steve used a computer to take out almost all the timbre differences. C. The experiments had to be stopped when the volunteers developed raging earache. 2b. And not only this, for the brain can recognize a sound within 1/20th of a second. We can recognize a particular sound because we remember hearing it in the past. 3. Bet you never knew. Diana Deutsch, professor of psychology at the University of California, USA, studied the way our ears hear different notes. She played different notes in each ear of a volunteer. Why, that's us. You must be my volunteers. Amazingly, even when she played a high note in the left ear, the volunteer said they heard the sound in their right ear. The experiment showed that your right ear wants to hear higher notes than the left ear. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Horribly hard of hearing. But, of course, these sound experiments depend on one vital factor, hearing. The volunteer had to hear the sounds in the first place, and some people can't. Sounds dreadful fact file. Name, deafness. Basic facts. About 16% of people in Britain have less than perfect hearing. About 1 in 20 people have some difficulty in hearing conversation. The dreadful details. 1. Deafness can be caused by listening to loud music. This can destroy the nerve endings that join onto the cochlea. Better shout that to your noisy teenage brother or sister. 2. Disease can destroy hearing. Temporary deafness can occur when the middle ear gets infected and fills up with pus. Yuck. 3. As people get older, the sensors in the cochlea die off. That's why you may have to shout in your gran's ear hole. Thanks for the new pajamas, Gran. Go to the Bahamas? Lovely, I'll go and pack. Helpful hearing aids. Nowadays, deafness can be helped by hearing aids or cochlea implants. A hearing aid is a miniature microphone linked to an amplifier that makes sounds louder. A cochlea implant is a tiny radio receiver fitted under the skin that receives radio signals from an earpiece behind the ear. The implant then converts the signals to electrical pulses that trigger signals along the nerves to the brain. Brilliant, eh? Bet you never knew. In the USA, a man named Henry Koch complained of hearing music in his head. Tests showed that a tiny lump of carborundum, a hard black chemical from a dentist's drill, had stuck in his tooth. The crystals in the chemical were picking up and boosting the power of radio waves from a nearby transmitter. This triggered vibrations, which the poor man heard as music. Back again, Mr. Koch? Toothache? No, headache. But before the invention of modern hearing aids, in about 1900, people had to make do with this. Stick in ear, ear trumpet. Speak into ear. You shout into the ear trumpet. The vibrations can't escape from the trumpet except by passing into Granny's lug hole, so your voice sounds louder. But how would deafness affect a composer of music, a person for whom hearing is more important than anything else in the world? Someone like German composer Ludwig van Beethoven, 1770 to 1827, for example. Hearing is believing. Some people called him a genius. Others called him crazy and sometimes even ruder things. His music was inspired by listening to country sounds, murmuring streams, storms, and bird calls. He composed thrilling, dramatic melodies that mirrored his passionate feelings about life and art. Hearing had made him what he was, but in 1800, Beethoven noticed a ringing in his ears, and over the next 20 years, his hearing failed. He was forced to try a weird variety of different-shaped ear trumpets. The deafness might have been caused by a disease of the bones in Beethoven's middle ear. The treatments he took were useless. Cold baths and smelly river water. That water's filthy. You'll need another bath when you get home. Shiver. Pardon? Pouring almond oil into his ear holes. Quick, stick a finger in your other ear. Drip. Pardon? Wearing strips of bark over his ears. You must be barking mad. Woof. Pardon? Wearing painful plasters on his arms until he got blisters. You're in a sticky situation, Ludwig. Ouch. Pardon? Beethoven couldn't hear people talking. Instead, he wrote his friends little notes and they wrote back to him. Nothing seems to work. Dear Ludwig, there's no need to shout yours. Yours sincerely, a friend. He gave his nephew Carl piano lessons and boasted the boy was brilliant. He must be, thought Beethoven, because he had the best teacher in the world. It was lucky Beethoven couldn't hear the young boy's dreadful playing. Beethoven's deafness made him really miserable. He also began to pong because he rarely bothered to wash or change his clothes. He never brushed his hair. Don't get any ideas from this. Missing a bath doesn't make you a genius. The boy's hopeless. He only plays with one hand. He needs the other one to hold his nose. Pong, blink, blonk. Beethoven could no longer hear well enough to conduct his own music. Several concerts were dreadful flops because he conducted the orchestra too slowly. He'd do better as a bus conductor. But amazingly enough, deafness didn't harm Beethoven's work as a composer. Some experts think he even got better. He used to imagine how the music would sound, and he had a special trick that helped him listen to a piano. Dare you discover how to hear like Beethoven? You will need one 0.5-centimeter wide rubber band, one pair of teeth, preferably your own. Warning, don't let go of rubber band suddenly. What you do? 1. Stretch the rubber band between your fingers and twang it. Note how loud the sound is. 2. Put one end of the band between your teeth. Stretch the band. Don't let go. Twang it again. What did you notice? A. The twang sounded louder the first time. B. The twang sounded louder the second time. C. The twang sounded a higher note the second time. Answer B. The twang sounds louder because the sound vibrations pass directly to your inner ear via the bones in your skull. These are very good at passing on sound vibrations. Beethoven used a drumstick held in his teeth to feel sound vibrations from a piano in the same way. But for some people, life is even harder. Try to imagine what it's like to be completely blind and deaf. The world would be dark and silent. And if you were a baby, how would you ever learn a thing? This was the challenge for Helen Keller. 1880 to 1968, who was deaf and blind and didn't know how to talk. Here's how her teacher, Annie O'Sullivan, might have told her story. A Touch of Magic, Boston, USA, Spring 1927. The young reporter was in a hurry. He had a deadline to meet, and the editor back at the Daily Globe office was getting impatient for his story. So, Annie, may I call you that? You were Helen's teacher for many years, but what was she really like? The old woman smiled weakly. Well, she was very naughty when she was a young girl. She snatched her mum's plates and stuck her fingers in her dad's food. Then she'd pinch her grandma and chase her from the room. Moan muttered Grumble Moan. Ah, you naughty girl. Oh, dear. The reporter raised an eyebrow and stopped scribbling in his notebook. So the famous Helen Keller was a bit of a wild child? Our readers will be shocked. Helen couldn't hear or see after an illness that she'd had as a baby. She knew people talked using their lips, and she wanted to join in. But she couldn't because she'd never learned how to talk. So Helen got cross instead. She drove her parents crazy. Her uncle said she ought to be locked up somewhere. The old woman took a sip of tea. So I bet Helen's parents were pleased when you turned up, you being a teacher of deaf children. Yes, they were. They'd written to my boss at the charity in desperation, asking him to send someone, and I got the job. But Helen was less impressed. I remember our first meeting like it was yesterday. I tried to give her a hug, and she struggled like a wild cat. Oh! The reporter tucked his pencil behind his ear. So the famous Helen Keller was like a wild cat, he smirked, but you gave her a smack to keep her in line. The old lady looked shocked. Her saucer rattled as she replaced her cup. Oh, no, that was never my way. I wanted Helen to be my friend, as well as my pupil. Of course, I had to be firm sometimes. Yeah, yeah, broke in the reporter. But what our readers really want to know is how you taught her. I mean, it's not like she could hear or see anything. That was the big problem. All day long, I tried to get Helen to understand me by tapping her hand. It was a special code. Each letter of the alphabet was a certain number of taps. But Helen didn't understand. It was so frustrating. Am I wasting my time? Don't suppose it meant anything to her seeing as she didn't know how to read or even what an alphabet was. Well, yes, I know, but at the time I thought Helen would guess someone was trying to make contact. She'd already made up a few signs herself, like when she wanted ice cream, she'd pretend to shiver. The reporter was drumming his fingers and fidgeting. Okay, Annie, so you had a problem. How did you get through to Helen in the end? Don't be so fast, young man. I was coming to that. One day we were out for a walk and came across a woman pumping water. Well, I had a brainwave. I put Helen's hand under the stream and I spelt out water by tapping on her hand. Helen twigged at once, and then I knew what to do. I got Helen to feel or taste or smell things. For example, she learned about the sea by paddling in the waves. Then I told her what they were by tapping. Yes, just like you're doing with your